So when we can use beauty, even our own beauty, to help others, that's when we truly become beautiful.
Welcome to Star of the Doubts. I'm your host, Jared Easley. We are fortunate today to have our guest, Leah Darrow. Leah is an international public speaker reaching out to people of all ages about topics of faith, modesty, chastity, human dignity, and conversion. Leah became a finalist in America's Next Top Model and soon after took on a career path as a professional model in New York City until she eventually realized that she had a different calling. She decided to turn back from the sophisticated modeling world and went back to her home in St. Louis, Missouri. She has now become a full-time speaker addressing talks focused toward mostly younger audiences. Leah speaks to large audiences both nationally and overseas, including the UN panel discussion representing international youth, her Real Love Revolution Tour in the Philippines, the National Focus Conference, and SEEK 2013. She's also appeared on a number of radio and television programs. Leah has also been active in Pure Fashion, which is an 8-month program teaching girls 14 to 18 years old about fashion and modeling in a modest approach. A real beauty inside and out, Leah seeks to help people find that lasting happiness and add value to their life of faith. Leah, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Jared, for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. So, Leah, the first question I ask everybody that comes on this show, no matter where they're from or what they do, is what is the best concert that you have ever been to?
Well, the first concert I ever went to, which probably, in my opinion, was the best because it was my first, and I don't go to a lot of concerts. The very first one I ever went to, I was 16 years old, and it was Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I had no idea what I was getting involved with. I just knew the song Sweet Home Alabama. And so I went with some friends in high school, and I just thought, oh my gosh, where am I? What's going on? But it was a great time. So yeah, I would definitely say that one.
That's funny. So Leah, are you that person at the concert when somebody's playing, you just obnoxiously yell out, play some Skinner?
Of course. That's totally me. How did you guess that, Jared?
I knew it had to be. Okay. So let's do blank versus blank. I'm going to give you two options. And if you just give us pick one and maybe a short reason why. And the first one is, would you rather be shopping for shoes or speaking?
My instinct says shoes, but my conscience says speaking.
What is the last pair of shoes that you've purchased?
Oh, the last pair of shoes I purchased was a fabulous pair of nude color high heels from Nine West that have like a little bow on the side of them. Fantastic.
Do you have an Instagram account?
I do.
You'll find it in your heart to post a picture of those.
Without a doubt. I will absolutely. It'll be my pleasure to do it.
All right, let's finish this sentence. In order to inspire youth, blank.
You must be vulnerable, honest, and have compassion.
Vulnerable, honest, and have compassion. So I've been fortunate to meet you and your husband, Ricky, and Agnes Regina.
Yeah, our little girl. That's right.
And I just think it's cool how we met. Would you just take a moment and just talk about where we met and what was going on there?
Sure, absolutely. Well, we met at one of Mr. Michael Hyatt's conferences. Let's see, that one was, which one was that? Was that Plot?
No, that was Launch.
Launch, yep. That's right. We've been to a couple here. That was Launch. And I believe, now, did we meet at SCORE as well, Jared?
I've been to those other conferences, but the only quality hang time I had with you and your husband was at
Launch. Was at Launch, right. Yeah. So, yeah, we went to Launch together, and highly recommend that conference too. I know you do as well. I mean, it's fabulous. And so, yeah, we went to the Launch conference, and we're just trying to figure out a way to, with the work that I'm doing, this ministry that I feel like God's put on my heart to do, how can we be effective with that? So we obviously went to the Launch conference to make sure that we were kind of being guided in the right direction with the experts in the field that could teach us how to do that. And then it was great because we got to meet up with you and spend some good time talking to you and some other great souls there and hearing the good work that they're going to do. And so, gosh, yeah, we started there and God's just kept the friendship going.
I want to take a quick second to brag on your husband, Ricky, because I talked to him maybe 2 minutes. And I mean, just in that 2 minutes, I was like, I like this dude. This is a cool dude. So I feel like you've married well. He's a former Green Beret. Is that right?
That's correct. He is.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anyway, so Ricky, if you're listening, we love you.
Yes, we do. He's a good, good man.
Yes. And of course, when I saw Agnes Regina, she was little, but sure, she's growing up quick, right?
She is. Gosh, you saw her and oh my gosh, she was probably what, a month and a half then, if that. Yeah. And now she's 7.5 months. So she's just growing like a weed, as they all do.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. I love it. All right, so we're going to do some questions here, and I want you to just really go into some of this cool stuff that you've had happen and some of the neat things that you're working on. But the first one is, what would you say to the women listeners out there, and specifically if there's any women who are listening to this who might be or know someone who are experiencing domestic violence, what do you say to those people?
Oh, gosh. There's always hope. I think that in those situations, a lot of the women that I talk to who are in those situations, a lot of the women that I've also been able to work with who have gotten out of those situations have expressed to me the weight of despair, the weight of this is as good as it's going to get. I have to just live in this pain. I have to live in this situation and there's no hope. And those feelings are real, but it's not reality. There's always hope and there are resources and there is help with reaching out to others, whether it's an email, a text message, whatever it is, to someone you can trust, even if it's to a stranger, but to someone that will care about you. And gosh, if there's any women listening and if you're wondering if anybody cares, just I do. I care and I'd be willing to help point people in the right direction if they were to contact me.
Well, let's talk about that, Leah. How could someone contact you if that resonates with them right now and they know someone or they're experiencing some adversity? What can they do to contact you?
Absolutely. The easiest way is to email me at leah@leahdarrow.com. That's leah@leahdarrow.com. That's my private email. Nobody answers that email except for me. You send an email there, everything is confidential, and we'll be able to help those women and point them in the right direction.
Leah, is that common for you to be so gracious as to just give out your private email to people who might be going through this?
Thank you for considering that to be gracious, but what else would I do? Somebody needs help. Will we just walk by and not help them? I've heard someone use this phrase before, and they say that evangelization is just one beggar pointing to another beggar of where to get food. And, you know, there's been so many people in my life when I have been so down and in some very dark and horrible places that if they saw me and they reached out to me or they offered help and they allowed a personal contact. I didn't have to stand in some customer service line or on the phone. I mean, I just went to somebody and that person helped me. And I believe that's one of the things that we are missing today in our world is that little piece of humanity, is that person-to-person contact, to look at somebody in the eye and let them know that you are loved, you are valued, and your life is worth living.
Well said. Leah, you're not hiding at all. You are very clear and upfront about your faith, and that's one of the things I certainly appreciate about you. How important has it been for you to have an active prayer life?
It's the foundation of everything that I do. It's a foundation of, I believe, every holy person out there. We must communicate. We must dialogue with our Creator, with God, and spend that time in silence, which is God's language, that foreign language of His, of silence, that's sometimes awkward and we're not sure what we're hearing or what's going on in it, but just to sit in that. If throughout my days and throughout my travels and my speaking and my work and my writing, if I'm not praying, it shows immediately. It's very clear. I don't have the peace that God usually will give me with a consistent prayer life. I feel like I have to do too much. I feel like it's all on me. And that all stems from me not grounding myself in prayer. And so if something ever starts to kind of get a little out of whack or I get a little too frazzled or things just get to be too much, I'll look back and I'll see over that week or whatever it is, I've neglected my prayer life. So, I mean, it's crazy important. It's huge. Anybody in ministry, I think anybody with obviously who has belief in God, we should be spending time daily in prayer, however that works. It doesn't always have to be with rote prayers. It doesn't always have to be just stepping away from the world and going into a quiet place. My mother used to tell me, I'm the oldest of six kids, and so I would say, Mom, how do you pray? How is it that you, such a holy woman, how do you get time to pray? And she says, Leah, I pray in the things that I do for the people I love. So when I change a diaper, I offer that as a prayer to God in Thanksgiving for family. And whenever I'm cooking dinner or whatever it is, I offer these things as prayer. And it was just really beautiful to me, and it taught me that prayer is deeper than just some words on paper that we can just pray and say amen afterward. And of course, that's wonderful, but it can be deeper and more than that.
Leah, peer pressure is, unfortunately, it's a common thing in high school and colleges and certainly in elementary school, so on and so forth. And not to mention bullying. What's your best advice to kids who are victims of peer pressure or bullying? And then is there something that you recommend that parents can do about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one is to speak up. And it's very hard, especially when someone's being bullied, they're being bullied into silence to take more bullying. So the cycle is horrific. But truly, the thing to do is to speak up. And sometimes one of the best ways to speak up, a lot of times, is for someone, if you see someone being bullied, then we have a responsibility to our neighbor to speak up for them, because they may not have the voice at that time. And so we need to speak up. That's the first thing we need to do, whether it's the person being bullied or if we see someone being bullied. And then we need to make sure that, especially if we're dealing with kids being bullied, to tell adults when we speak up, to make sure we're telling administrators and not just one. I personally think that it's just not enough. Like, if I was seeing somebody being bullied, I would tell the teacher and I would make sure I went to the principal if this is a school scenario, and I would tell multiple officials that this is what's going on. And then now there's a lot of resources in the bullying area in to help protect against it that parents can do, and they can get together and create a community where that's going to be slowed down, where it's going to be, you know, stopped, and teachers can be a part of that so they can catch it before it gets worse.
Leah, I have a 3-year-old daughter, and she's my absolute world. She's my sweet girl. And the society, as she's going to grow up, society is going to give her a lot of definitions on what beauty is.
Uh-huh.
How do you define real beauty, and what beauty or fashion advice do you usually share with young girls?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? You're right. Your daughter is going to get a ton of messages. And unfortunately, you said she's 3, right?
She's 3.
Yeah. I mean, she already has. I mean, this is the sick and scary thing, is that she's already getting messages from the types of maybe dolls that she plays with. And depending on what's around, if she might not have the dolls, she's them out elsewhere. And so there's a standard of beauty, and the standard of beauty in the beauty industry, we first have to understand that the standard is set at perfection. The idea the beauty industry has is to present something perfect. They want to present something perfectly so that you can look at it, you can see the beauty in it, you try to find some beauty in it, and then you look at yourself and you realize that you don't have this or that, or don't look like this or that, and you will then go towards that beauty industry and they will provide you with a product to deal with your problem of not being perfect. So the bottom line in a lot of industries is money. And so the beauty industry wants to sell you something. They want to sell you a product. And to do that, they present you with the lie of perfection. They want you to look at that, see the fact that you're not perfect, and then give you empty promises that, you know, these creams or these clothes or this or that will make you perfect. So to defend yourself against that, the first things we have to realize, and I think with parents, is to understand that beauty is not a talent. Beauty is a gift that God gives us. So to help make his presence in the world known. That's what's so beautiful about everybody and everything in the world. You see all of these beautiful things. And in my opinion, that's the way God's saying, see, I exist. But beauty is not a talent as such. And I'm not talking about art. I'm just talking about beauty in the world. And beauty finds its full vocation. It finds its full meaning at the heart of service. So when we can use beauty, even our own beauty, to help others, that's when we truly become beautiful. One of my easiest examples to kind of pull from is Mother Teresa. I mean, she was, in my opinion, so beautiful. You look at these pictures and she's beaming, smiling, and she's holding these kids. And if you have to look at some standards of the type of people we think are beautiful, one of the ways is how we photograph people like celebrities. And Mother Teresa was photographed almost as much as Princess Diana. And so she's one of the most photographed women in the world. And I think she's one of the most photographed women in the world because she's so beautiful. But I don't think Mother Teresa stood in the mirror and said, wow, I really need Botox, or I need high heels. You know, I mean, she was beautiful because she loved, and she loved others at any stage of their life. And so the fact that, beauty has a deeper meaning than just what's on the face, than just what's on the body. And I think that's a big lesson that we have to teach ourselves and teach our children to help defend against what the beauty industry is trying to do with their lie of perfectionism.
Of course, Leah, I've got to ask this because I find it really interesting. You were on America's Next Top Model, and for most people who are listening to this, they're probably familiar with that program. How was your experience with America's Next Top Model, and could you just talk a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah, I'm guilty, definitely. I was on that show. I was on cycle 3 of America's Next Top Model. And previous to that point of being on the show, just to give you a little bit of background so it kind of makes sense, I was very far from my faith. Just was kind of derailed. I was very selfish and relativistic. So I kind of just thought, hey, whatever. If you don't like it, don't look at me. I don't affect you, and it's no big deal. So I bought into the culture's lie of beauty and love and happiness, that it would be fulfilled by the culture. And so it kind of makes perfect sense then that I would audition for a show like America's Next Top Model. And I was on cycle 3, and it was just crazy. I mean, I'm sure as many people know, there's nothing real about reality TV. It's just a wild ride. And there were some fun parts of being on the show and some great perks of little gifts and things that we got. Not many, but there were some. However, overall, the experience was terrifying, honest to God. I mean, it was, you had anxiety constantly. They would come in and tell you that Tyra Banks is coming in at any moment and she's going to give you your next assignment. And then Tyra wouldn't show up for 16 hours. And so everybody's awake and nobody wants to go to sleep and everybody's trying to get dressed and get ready. And then you wait, wait, wait. And they, of course, do this to build up drama. Now, on my season, on my cycle, we did a lot of filming in LA, New York, Jamaica, and then later in Asia. And while we were in New York, we stayed at the Waldorf Astoria. While they filmed us there, all of the cameramen are cameramen. There's no camerawomen, at least not at that time. And we noticed really quickly that they took all of the doors off of the hinges. There were no doors on the hinges. They took them off. No bedroom door. You walk further into the suite and you realize there's no bathroom door. You walk further into the bathroom and you see that there's no shower curtain. Keep in mind, these are all cameramen, not camera women. They're filming us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which is, you know, not a surprise. It is a TV show. Okay, of course. But, you know, it's one of those things where human dignity, modesty is not a priority for them. What the priority is a TV show. The priority is getting ratings. And we begged Tyra, we begged the people on the show to give us a shower curtain. And it wasn't until weeks later that we barely got it. And it was just those moments when you realize it's not all fun and games, and it's not all what people think back home, that reality TV truly edits the reality out of it and presents you with a fantasy that your life can be maybe this exciting and wonderful if you just follow, you know, these silly steps. But I ended up being eliminated on America's Next Top Model, and I decided I still wanted to be a model and still wanted to push forward in my profession. And so I moved to New York and I began modeling professionally at that point.
And from that point, something occurred where you had a change of heart from going all in on being a model to becoming a full-time speaker. So what sparked that conversion?
Oh gosh. So I was in the middle of a fashion photo shoot in New York City. And at this point, there had been moments over the past couple years where I really kind of felt God saying, you know, Leah, are you sure you want to do this? This is a rough go. I mean, this is a rough business. You sure you want to be here? And kind of just like these moments, these God moments would happen. And I would kind of start to rethink things. But then I got scared because if I left New York or if I walked out on the show, I feel like I was going to be disappointing people and I wouldn't look as professional and I wouldn't be cool or whatever it might be. And so out of that fear, I stayed. And it was in the middle of this fashion photo shoot where the photographer's out and up above me and he's photographing me. And I just had this moment where truly God just touched my heart in a profound way. And I began to realize that every gift and talent that God had given me, I was using or wasting completely on myself. I did not care about anybody else in the world. I did not care about you, Jared. I didn't care about people who are listening to this podcast. I just cared about Leah Darrow, and I wanted Leah Darrow to be famous and popular and beautiful and have lots of money, and everything else would work out later. And I'll try to be a good person after that, but I have to do these things for myself now. It was in that moment in the middle of that photo shoot where God just touched my heart, and I ended up getting up and I said, I can't do this anymore. And the photographer was trying to convince me to stay, and I ended up just walking out and walked out of the photo shoot, walked all the way home, and I did the only thing a girl could do. I called my dad and I just said, Dad, I need help. I need you to come and get me. And my dad drove over 2,000 miles and he came and he picked me up. Yeah. So if you're familiar with the gospel parable of the prodigal son, I'm his sister, right? So that began the process.
Well, I could say, Leah, that if my daughter called me 2,000 miles away or however far, I would do the same thing.
So, Absolutely. Of course you would. Yes.
Wouldn't think twice. All right. So, Leah, let's talk about speaking. So that's something you're really doing awesome at right now. And I'm sure modeling has helped kind of launch that career. How has speaking in front of thousands of people transformed your life?
Well, I get a front row seat to the workings of the Holy Spirit. I do cooperate with God. I am there. I offer a story of mercy and grace and a story of hope to the people in the audiences. I encourage them and I challenge them to define love, not to define it by the world. And what ends up happening and being honest and being vulnerable, I see these wonderful souls in front of me be transformed with and through Christ. And they're not being transformed through Leah Darrow. They're being transformed through Christ. And it's just, I get a front row seat and it's amazing. I mean, the audiences definitely change me for that, and they give me hope for our future. I am so fortunate to be around and to speak to, like you said, thousands of youth at a time. And I just think this world is so crazy and there's so many crazy things going on that can be almost depressing, but I get to be in front of people who I know are going to change the world and make it better. And it's just so hopeful.
We mentioned Agnes Regina earlier, and I just wanted to ask, what are the new challenges you've encountered as a wife and as a mother?
Oh, gosh, this podcast isn't long enough. Oh, my gosh. Well, I take Agnes with me everywhere I go. She's 7.5 months old. I'm nursing. So she comes with mm-hmm. mom everywhere. And Ricky goes with me on the talks, too, to help support me and then take care of Agnes. And he helps with a lot of the work during the events. So we're just like this traveling family trying to just do God's work. And, yeah, there's a lot of challenges. I mean, gosh, I don't even know where to start. But it's all just about balance and just trying to keep things focused. And when I'm with my daughter or when I'm with my husband, to give them 100% of my time. And that's where the gift of prayer comes in. And when we pray together, and I prepare for my talks way in advance. So then I can just go to the event and I offer this up to God. And I said, God, just please speak through me and just open my heart to whatever you want to give me. And that helps relieve a lot of the pressure, because I've already prepared before, and then I can actually just be with my audience, or before and after, just be with my family.
Who's doing something that interests you?
Right now, there's a group called Generation Life, and they're definitely very interesting to me. They're a group of college kids that are like donating a year or 2 years of their life, and they go around giving these beautiful faith-inspired talks, and that inspires me. It inspires me a whole lot.
What's the best place, Leah, for people to stay connected with you online? You mentioned earlier, you know, your email for people who have questions. But if they just want to stay connected in general with everything you're doing online, how can they do that?
Yeah, I mean, the best way to do it is there are three ways. One is my website, leahdarrow.com. The second is Facebook. You can find me there, just Leah Darrow. And the third is Twitter, which is just Leah Darrow, at Leah Darrow. And I'm on social media a lot, so definitely stay connected with me there. My Facebook Facebook, or I'm sorry, my website. You can stay connected to me on my website, and then I'll have, it'll be refurbished here in the next month or so. So you'll see a neat change at that point. So it'll be good.
Do you have any final thoughts for the listeners?
Well, I have a book that I do believe will help others, especially women, young women in their search for beauty and love in their life. And it's called Decent Exposure. And it'll be out in the next couple months, so stay connected through their social media venues. It's a beautiful book about how to be decently exposed in an indecent world.
When is that launched?
It should be launched in 2 months.
Wonderful. Aaliyah, thank you so much. Best wishes to you and your family and your speaking career.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Jared. God bless you. Understand that beauty is not a talent. Beauty is a gift that God gives us. So to help make his presence in the world known. That's what's so beautiful about everybody and everything in the world. You see all of these beautiful things. And in my opinion, that's the way God's saying, see, I exist.